Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we're taking a little bit of a different journey. We're going to be talking about faith power. Yes. And the reason we're going to be talking about it is none of us like looking like a dehydrated piece of leather. Absolutely not. But as we get older, especially we gals, guys are getting a little bit wiser about this, but the guys aren't so concerned as we gals are. None of us like to look like a shriveled up piece of prune. No. We want to look attractive and we want to have a very lovely skin even when we get into our 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and even 90s. You don't think it's possible? I've got news for you. Helen Day is my guest today. She has put out a book called Beauty Without Injections. Helen, welcome to the show.
Hello. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, Helen, it's a delight having you. Now, I'm really fascinated with something, Helen. I have in front of me a photo of yourself and your daughter. You were 62 years old when the photo was taken, and your skin is just radiant. It has the same kind of freshness and line-free look as your daughter.
Well, thank you.
It's just
thank
beautiful.
Thank you very much. Well, thank you, Donna. Thank you. I put that down to incredible health. I've really watched my health all my life, but I also put that down to my discoveries about what makes a wrinkle in the face, and then more importantly, how to undo the wrinkle on your own. And in today's world, I always say the poor face is fighting for its life. The reason I say that is that if you look through our history, for whatever reason, well, I think I know, but if you, Donna, started to notice that your body wasn't looking as youthful as what it used to say 5 or 10 years ago, there wouldn't be a thought in your mind other than you heading out to walk, going to the gym, to enhance the health of your body. And the poor face, unfortunately, was taken over probably generations ago with the advent of cosmetics and creams, so that it was put out of the boundary of our own empowerment, that this was something that we could do a lot about.
Now, Helen, you are a qualified physiotherapist. You are also trained in acupuncture, and this is something that you bring into it. You have been very much involved with people who have chronic pain, and that is a real specialty. And you developed your techniques for keeping a youthful appearance to the face because of your work. And you found that in the process of working with the patients that were going through so much pain, and we all know how when people are in pain, the face is going to reflect it. This is, it's not just the body itself. The face is a mirror. So you decided you were going to take this and really give it application, and you did it on yourself.
Yes.
You really worked on yourself first before you started expounding it to everyone else. What was the most significant thing you noticed when you were working with patients that were experiencing pain?
That the painful area contracts. And with that contraction goes pain. if I take that further, I can tell you how a wrinkle is made. But when I started to, I developed in the early, in about 2000, I developed techniques to deal with releasing that pain. And I took what I knew and I put them all together. Therefore, I put acupuncture. It's a four-step program. I put acupuncture with the use of the breath, with tissue work. I work with the needles in. And when I saw, when I noticed that not only did the pain leave the area, but it appeared younger, the thought started to niggle in my head, gee, I wonder if this would work on the face. So, yes, of course, I have done all my practicing on me. Mm-hmm. And I started doing, working on releasing the muscles in the face. When you think about it, most people hear that as we age, the muscles get loose and saggy. Well, that is so far from the truth. They're connected to a computer in our body, and what happens is they shorten and they tighten. And with that shortening and tightening, scar tissue or connective tissue is laid down, and it forms the wrinkles. So this is, you know, what I started to, as I worked on my own face, and I saw that as I released the muscles, what happened was the blood flow goes back into the face. The nerve transmission that was all being cut off by these very, very tight muscles, the nerve transmission goes back to the muscles. The muscles, I tell my patients, they release for the first time in years, they plump up and they fill out the skin.
Mm-hmm.
In the book, I talk about imagine if you were watering a garden, and people wonder why they lose this luminous skin, but if you were watering a garden and the hose that was watering the garden was cut off, well, obviously the garden dies, and that's exactly what happens to our skin and to the muscles underneath the skin. When I wrote this book, with all of this knowledge, I really, really, really wanted to create a book that men and women could pick up, practice on their own, and get visible results that wouldn't cost anything more than the cost of the book. Now, mm-hmm. It's even available in the libraries here, but people in these tough economic times, people are, I don't know where they're finding the money to go on and get more Botox shots, which, by the way, was in the Journal of American Medicine, was in 2001, was labeled as the most poisonous substance known.
Mm-hmm. So it's a lethal virus.
It's a lethal virus. Yes, lethal.
And if it gets to the brain, you're in trouble.
Well, there's many, many side effects. But mm-hmm. It's... go ahead.
No, what I was going to say is to comment and to agree with what you're saying. Botox is extremely dangerous. And mm-hmm. I know there are millions of people that have gone through it, and they say there's, you know, no big deal. But any time you put a lethal, toxic virus, which is what it is. It's a specific mm-hmm. kind of a living substance, and that is put around your face. It can go easily into the brain, and mm-hmm. they do not know to what degree at this time it can stay dormant perhaps in the body and suddenly create an inflammation factor. But this is something that's not a joke. And what I want to bring out, too, with you, Helen, is that you decided you were going to have plastic surgery. You also went through the experience of the chemical peel. And
years ago.
So you did that. You said you were watching all of this stuff, and you were saying, gee whiz, this is what I need to do. Mm-hmm. And none of us want to look like a droopy, you know, saggy bag. We all want mm-hmm. to look attractive. But we are going to have to take care of our skin. I mean, this is mm-hmm. something that is a reality. Mm-hmm. And it makes all the difference in the world. But tell us what happened to you and how you got turned on to the reality that there had to be a better way.
Well, in my 50s, the very first time, started to notice that I was aging and was going through a lot of stuff. And I went and I tried Botox, and I went and tried fillers. And I tried it two or three times, and then I just went, oh, my God, there's got to be something better than this. There has to be something that hasn't been discovered yet that is better than this. And then that's when I started tracking through and making these associations between chronic body pain and would it work on the face. But when I went back into the nurse who was giving me these shots, I said, you know, I'm not going to come back ever again. And she just looked at me and she said, you know, I really admire you, Helen. She said, very few women, once they start, can stop. So it's another form of addiction that, you know, we're surrounded by them. And here, on top of everything, is another one. And it's the addiction of looking youthful. And I don't know whether your audience what they'll think about this, but all of the, you know, all of the pouty lips that we see with the fillers and that type of thing, I said to the nurse finally, because it just dawned on me, I said, these are actually, the lips are made to look like engorged genitals.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, Helen, she said, that's exactly right. So all of these poor women and men going around looking, you know, it's, again, there's something, we've gone way far off track. And hopefully what I would like with this book is to bring people back to, if we don't have our health, we haven't got anything. And the face, I said to this nurse, I said, what about the health of the face? Through all of this, and as I said earlier, if you knew your body was all of a sudden aging, off you'd go to the gym. Well, as soon as we see the face, and I said this earlier, off we go to the cosmetic counter, off we go to Botox, off we go to fillers. But our face is just like our body. It's made up of muscle, joint. There's these incredible joints on either side of the face that never get worked. Imagine what I would look like if I had a shoulder that didn't move or I had a back that was out. I would look 50 years older than what I was. And I have this vision that there will be in gyms, alongside of all the ellipticals and the running tracks and whatever, there will be an area where we will go in and we will work the face. We will work these incredible TMJ or jaw joints. One of the things with aging is because we don't work these joints, the jaw gets more and more narrow, so that if somebody does go in and have a facelift, all of a sudden they don't look anything like they used to because the loose skin is pulled up tight over the jaw and the jaw has narrowed so dramatically. But there's the jaw joints. Then we have all the muscles that I talked about earlier. Well, the muscles need to be restored to health and vitality. And the exercises that I have in the book that I developed, they are not like the exercises for our body. Our poor face is worked to death as well. So not only is it struggling for its life, it's being worked to death in this process. And what I mean by that is every emotion that we have is expressed on the face. we every muscle or the chewing, that we have chewing muscles in the face. So when we go to bed at night and we go to sleep, we think our whole body is resting, but the poor face isn't. We have a bad dream and it shows on the face. We have an expression that we're dreaming, it shows on the face. So again, what I said earlier, the muscles get shortened and tightened. So when I develop the exercises, it's showing your audience how to go in and release the muscles to restore them back to health. It shows how to work these incredible joints that they have to restore it back to health. And then I added another one, which I call scrabbling. Scrabbling. We collect toxins on our skin, and the average, you talked about the toxins, but the average man and woman puts 17 known cancer-producing substances on their body every day. You add Botox to that mix. I don't want to go there. But what happens is, if we can't get rid of them, they're collected up on the skin and underneath the skin in the layers there. When the scar tissue or connective tissue lays down to form the wrinkles, what happens is that toxins need to drain from the midline of the face out to the ear and then into the vein, the big jugular vein on the side of the neck, and then they're carried off and disposed of. But with wrinkles, that stops that flow. Those tight contracted muscles stops the flow of toxins. So we are going around with collected toxins on the face. Not only that, with Botox, they're injecting toxins into the face. So where is our toxin level that we can handle? What level tips you over into poor health? So my three areas of my exercises are C-shape, which is restoring the muscle to plumpness, scrabbling, and then there's a connective tissue stretch as well, which you need to do to stretch out where the connective tissue has laid down, like around the mouth and that. Classically, around the mouth, people start to get the smoker's lines.
Oh, my goodness. Those are so ugly.
I know they're ugly.
They are so ugly. And I was visiting with my gynecologist one day, and she had complimented me on my skin, which frequently mm-hmm. people do. And I said, you know, I'm really amazed. I see so many women that have these tremendous lines around the mouth. And she said, well, that's the first sign that they're a heavy smoker. And she mm-hmm. said, when people are heavy smokers, they build up those lines because it takes so much muscular application to be able to draw on a cigarette. And when you do it, usually their lips are very, very tight around the cigarette, so you're getting that. And the definition, and of course smoking is one of the worst things for your skin you possibly can have. With what you've got in your book, Helen, I just want to share something with you that really set an impression upon me when I was 16 years old. We had a neighbor who lived across the street from us. She was tall, she was slender, and here I am, a little short Wapaho, that's me. And I just would look at her and just say, oh my goodness, I wish I had a body like hers, because she just was tall and willowy and looked like she belonged on the front of a Vogue magazine. And she was in her 40s. She must have been in her 40s at the time. And she'd come over and visit with my mother frequently, and she always had this beautiful tan. Well, one day she came over and she was dressed in her tennis outfit. She was going to go out and play tennis, but she did not have a tan. She had not been out in the sun. And I happened to look at her face, and I was horrified at what I saw. Now, this woman was in her 40s. The wrinkles in her face were so deep. She had literally baked herself so much in the sun. This was in Southern California.
And I can remember hearing from my grandmother, who was from Virginia, that ladies just didn't go out. My grandmother was just a hoot. She was born in 1900. She said ladies never went out and exposed their skin to the sun because you'd end up looking like a piece of leather. Well, that's exactly the way this neighbor, Norma, looked. And I can remember being so shocked, and it was like my grandmother's voice echoing in my head. I rarely put myself into the sun, and I didn't, where I would bake like she did, because I realized that as young as I was, I didn't want to look like that in my 40s, and I didn't. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I don't to this day. And it's so important to be aware of, one, your physical well-being, like you said, two, being aware that the skin is a living organ, and it is going to absorb good, bad, or indifferent that you put on it. But you really have to be aware, if you're going to go out and you want to get a tan, don't, for heaven's sakes, put yourself in these tanning beds, because I guarantee you, I've seen more than one woman like this. I met a woman who was 70 years old, and nobody would ever question she was 70, because she looked hideous. Her skin was horrible, absolutely horrible. And it was because she had been out in the sun and had baked and baked and baked. No matter what she put on it, it didn't make any difference. So you really can damage your skin. So if you want beautiful skin, if you're in your 20s and you're listening to this, take care of yourself. It makes a difference. I'd love for you, Helen, to describe the acupuncture process that you use, because you've got photos in your book, and anyone can follow this. But this is just really so simple. And what is, let's talk about, you know, the C shape that you're talking about. What about women that are concerned that they're getting the jowls? Would the C exercise work?
Well, the first and foremost thing that I say about jowls is have a professional check your posture. Because if that person has any kind of a forward head posture, meaning, you know, too much, and the young women today, always on their iPads, iPhones, their heads down, that is first and foremost what creates double chins. And then after that, yes, C-shape would help immensely, because you, with the loose skin that you start to get, the connective tissue again in the second and third layer of your skin is starting to tighten to go into wrinkles. And so if you took the, first of all, have your posture corrected, and then you did the C shape, and by C shape, what it is just placing one finger above the other, and if your jowls are bothering you, then you place one finger above the other, and then push them together. And what that does is it helps to stretch the connective tissue. Collagen is in connective tissue. So with release of that, and then you do the scrabbling to get rid of the toxins, that those three things alone could help immensely.
Now, you talk about scrabbling, and you describe it in your book. You say scrabbling is like crabs scrabbling across the rocks, and you say it prevents the binding down of connective tissue on your wrinkles, and the binding down prevents free flow of toxins in the lymphatic system. So you say to perform the scrabbling, you pick up the skin between the thumb and the second and the third fingers, and your photo that you have here, the young lady that's doing this is lying down. Mm-hmm. She's not standing up. Is there a difference if you did it standing up rather than lying down?
No. You can do C-shape and scrabbling anywhere, in the car, at home, going home, in rush hour. You can do it in the shower, in your office. It would just depend on your level of privacy. I do it in the car quite often. One of the major areas that we hold tension is in the masseter, or the cheek muscles. Mm-hmm. And this blocks off, when these are tight, this is a reason for dark eyes and circles. So I very often will be doing a C-shape into the cheek muscles in order to release them in the car. You know, people grind at night, and that tightens them. But it's a major area that we hold stress. If you're bothered by dark circles under your eyes, it would be, I think, very advantageous to go and release the cheek muscles and release the big fan-shaped muscle above your ear, which is, it's called temporalis. But those two alone could very likely increase the drainage from underneath the eye. So again, it can go into the big vein on the side of the neck.
You have a fascinating story in your book about a woman by the name of Elizabeth Dickey, and the C exercise evolved sort of from what she learned, because she was a physiotherapist in the 1920s, and she had a very, very serious, actually a fatal circulatory condition, and they had just put her in a room to die at the back of a hospital, which is just beyond me. But she started to perform soft tissue massage on herself. And she noticed a sharp sensation followed by a feeling of warmth. This woman totally recovered.
Yes.
And she involved herself in research for 10 years. And it was because of this research that she set up a teaching protocol for physiotherapy students in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
That is quite a story.
Well, it is quite a story, and it is, you know, it has spread from there, and has there's John Barnes, who does myofascial work and has taught it for years, and that's all about connective tissue and releasing it with this burn and the flow. And in the face, it's the first time, though, that these things have been applied to the face. I don't know why, but this is the first time that her work, it's also Dr. Janet Travell, one of President Kennedy's personal physicians, her work is all in this, but it's the first time that it's really been applied cosmetically to the face, and I think it's very exciting.
Well, I do, too. I think that this is important because it's something that really can be incorporated into what you do before you go to bed at night, or if even when you're on break at work, you could do something like this to help the circulation with the face. And I think that because everyone is living so much longer, it used to be when someone, if they lived long enough to reach 60, that was considered a miracle 50 years ago. And today, people are going to be living past 100. So to be sure to take care of yourself and keep yourself looking good, it does take an investment of time.
Yes.
Nutrition, you go into in your book, you cover that. But more than anything else, what it shows is that we really have to be consciously present with ourselves and our bodies. Because this is the chassis we've got. So why not take care of it? None of us have a perfect figure. None of us have a perfect anything. But by golly, let's work with what we've got and enhance our wellness. And your book, Beauty Without Injections, I think goes a long way towards doing that. Now, your website, you have a website called consulteducatetreat.com. Consulteducatetreat.com. And then there was also another website that I saw that you had, lookingglassbc.com. What would be on that website?
Well, actually, that was about my experience as a young girl dealing with an eating disorder. So it just really, the question was put to me, why would I want to write a book on beauty? And my question, my answer to that was, you know, I have suffered, and I don't want to suffer anymore, and I want to be able to help as many individuals as I can in the time that I have left on this earth.
So. Well, I think it's good to look at that, leaving that kind of a legacy. But since you're probably going to live to be over 100, you've got a lot of work in front of you.
I do. So, I
yes,
do, and I'm
do.
Really looking forward to it.
Yes, you do. And you also have some information in your book about a cream that you've got, some other things. But, Helen, it's been a delight having you as a guest. Your book is Beauty Without Injections. It's an excellent read. And you can go to her website, consulteducatetreat.com or lookingglassbc.com. Both of those websites will have an abundance of information for you. Helen, thank you so much for being my guest today. It has been a delight.
Thank you so much, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Helen Day has been my guest. Check out her website.
Check out her website.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com. and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready now, go cat go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoes. Well, you can do anything but lay off of my blue suede shoes. Well, you can knock me down, step on my face, slander my name all over the place. Do anything you want to do, but honey, lay off of them shoes, and don't you step on my blue suede shoes. I can do anything with the blue sweatshirt.
Hi, this Let's is Donna. Go. Surprised you, didn't I? Yes, we've got a wonderful guest, Reverend Elvis. Yes, that's what we've got, and we've got some more fun music we're going to be playing for you during the next quarter hour. Reverend Elvis, welcome to the show.
Hey, Donna, I'm all shook up to be here. What can I say?
Oh, my goodness. When I met you in New York, it was so much fun. And you said, Donna, I'm going to give you this CD, and I'd love to be on the show. And I said, gee whiz, I'd love to have you. And I listened to the CD. You have really got a good show here. Tell my audience how you decided, as a minister, to be an Elvis impersonator and the group of people that you've got with you that make this an absolutely dynamic performance of music that millions and millions of people love.
Well, what can I say, Donna, but thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
For those kind words, you know, there's no one but Elvis, who's the king of rock and roll, and what a performer. But somehow I've just been inspired to sing in his style of music. And if I may say, long before I ever had a calling to be a minister. In fact, I was 16 years old when I was on the Gong Show. Do you remember that show?
No. What's the Gong Show? I remember hearing about it.
Well, it was kind of the precursor to American Idol sort of thing.
Oh.
Sort of crazy. And when I was a teenager and started singing rock and roll, a friend bet me $10 when I was living up in Canada to go down to California to go on the Gong Show. So I did and had a lot of fun singing Jailhouse Rock down there. And I've just loved singing Elvis's music ever since I've been a kid.
Well, now, for you to do that when you're 16 and then as a mature man do it, that's a broad chasm. Did you stay involved with music for all of those years? When did you decide that you were going to make this a part of your life where you were performing?
Well, first off, may I say, I'm not sure I can accept the label mature. I think I'm still working on that. In fact, I feel we all have to be a little bit crazy to be kind of balanced in this life. But you know, I went into the ministry as a young man. I kind of had this calling, which I'm still trying to figure out. I'm sort of outside the box, and I realized that. But I did a spell in what I call the institutional church, and then I broke out of that, and now I'm non-denominational. But somewhere along the way, I thought, you know, I have to hang up my blue suede shoes. It's, you know, this is serious stuff, being a minister. And then I was a chaplain of the Legion, and they had a karaoke night, and I started singing Elvis tunes, and that was it. I mean, they just got right on top of that, and I was always singing and having fun with the people. So I had a big Elvis festival as a fundraiser, and that's where a reporter first named me the Reverend Elvis. I hosted and won the International Elvis Gospel Festival.
Wow!
So I just kind of felt actually that being who I am and being authentic is probably the best testament that I can give to people of my faith. You know, it's to integrate who we are and be the best of who we are. So, and it's a good fit too. I mean, Elvis, of course, had a love for gospel music, and he connected deep down in his soul with the people and in his performances, and I think that's something that I have deep respect for is just how Elvis connected with people.
Well, I do know that he used to have regular jam sessions. I remember seeing a program on this where he really got involved with the gospel music. That was a very important part of his background, and he liked those jam sessions. They really had a good time. Well, I want to play one of the pieces that you've got on here, and we're going to listen to a minute of this. It is just so wonderful. It just makes your toes want to wiggle and your feet want to tap to the beat, and let's go for it.
Right on.
Love me tender, love me deep, tell me you are mine. I'll be yours throughout the years, till the end of time. Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfilled.
Well, that wasn't toe-tapping, but that's Love Me Tender, and there's more than one gal that swooned like you wouldn't believe every time she heard that. And it was just one of those songs that really touched the female heart in a very, very special way, and he had that magic. When he would sing those songs, that women would just go, ah, gaga, from what I understand. I was never in that audience, but boy, I'll tell you what. I have met women, older women, that they just swoon still whenever they hear that. Music really does touch the soul, and it is an international language. How have you traveled with your group? How did you get your group together, Reverend Evels, that you have?
Well, most recently I've hooked up with Elvis's Imperials, which were the group that backed him up in the late 60s, early 70s, after the Jordanaires, sang with him in Las Vegas. And these guys have been good enough to honor me by sharing the stage with me for a couple of big concerts recently. We've got another one coming up. We're going into the 35th year, if you can believe it, since Elvis passed on. August 16th is the 34th anniversary of his death.
And, so we're celebrating his birthday today.
The anniversary of his death, but it's interesting you say his birthday, because I think that his passing has birthed a whole new phenomenon that, you know, Elvis is bigger than life, really. And and his music stands the test of time, really. And the Imperials, who sang with Elvis, sing with me now on stage. And I tell you, you just get the energy from these guys when you sing the Elvis classics, and they're looking at me, remembering Elvis, and I can feel that just unbelievable.
Now, when you perform, now you're going on concerts. When did you start up the concert tour? I mean, this is something that's quite incredible. And where are you having your concerts right now?
Well, mostly I'm doing my touring in Canada. My hometown right now is in Calgary. I do a big annual Reverend Elvis and Friends Blue Christmas, where we've raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for charity through that concert alone. And it's at the biggest concert hall in Western Canada. So these are pretty big concerts, and I get invited to do fundraisers, and I try not to do too much little stuff, just that I'm so busy with it, and I do have my regular ministry as well. I'm an author, but whenever I can, I like to share the stage with the Imperials. Those guys are something else.
Well, I think it's marvelous. Now, with your music, I do know that there is a video on your site. What is your website? How can people find you?
My main website, I'm doing a few other things right now, but the main site is therevsings.com. And
okay.
It tells a little bit about my church. You can get some links to some YouTube videos from performances, and get some information on my CDs. I haven't got my last CD out that I just on the website yet that I just did with the Imperials down in Nashville, but that will be forthcoming.
Well, I think that this is absolutely marvelous. The music is just invigorating. You and your group, the Imperials, do such a nice job, and I think it's a wonderful way to reach people and to have the activities that are sponsoring particulars that are very meaningful to you, and the people that are working with you is wonderful as well. And congratulations on being a part of the Elvis Gospel Festival, because that's quite an accomplishment. So I wish you well, and I do hope you'll keep me up to date with your latest CDs and the things that you've got going. I wish you well. For those of you listening, if you'd like to see the Rev singing the Elvis tunes, go to therevsings.com. You'll be entertained. It's absolutely delightful, and it's just a joy to be able to use music in such a happy way and to honor the man, Elvis, the king, as he is so often called, on this anniversary of his death, but really the birth of a whole new cycle of information and a passionate adoration for the music that he made so famous. Thanks ever so much, Rev. Glad to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Donna. And, you know, I really just want to pass out my well wishes and blessings to all your listeners, just to encourage you that having faith is fun, and enjoy the music of the King, and particularly as he pays tribute to the King of Kings.
I agree. Thank you very much. You have a wonderful, wonderful day, a wonderful life, and much success to you. And we're going to be playing a little bit more of the Reverend Elvis Sings, and when we come back, I'll have some other good things to share with you. Donna Sebo here. We'll be right back.
Come on, people, and dance with me. Come on, people, won't you hold my hand? Come on, people, and dance with me. Well, I am right.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com. To see more details, God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Well, I hope you enjoyed Reverend Elvis as much as I did. He's just a wonderful guy, and we're going to be having him on again probably around the Christmas season. But we have got a wonderful person coming on tomorrow, Julie Steelman. Now, Julie is a gal that has become an entrepreneurial multimillionaire. Now, Julie knows about selling. So we're going to be talking about her new book called Effortless Yes. This is about sales. We all are salespeople. And if you are like me, in so many instances, you go, oh, good grief, I don't want to have to push anybody. I don't want to have to do this in sales, and I'm not a car salesman. I just don't like selling. Well, the truth is we all do it. We all have to sell ourselves in one way or another. But Julie has approached it with a different perspective, and I really like it, and I think you will too. So she's going to be on the air with us tomorrow. And then on Thursday, we're going to be talking about entrepreneurs. Now, more and more people are deciding they want to go into business for themselves. Whenever you do this, there's always risks. Well, there's an actual school for those of us that would be starting up. So Jim Beach is going to be with us. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking with the famous Tom Sawyer. No, not the one that was in the book. This is a real guy. He was the writer for the show Murder, She Wrote. And he's been involved in so many other things. Tom Sawyer, he's a repeat guest on my show. We're going to be talking about his mystery, The 16th Man. Oh, is it good? So we're going to be talking with him. Great lineup of people. And if you want to find out who else is going to be on the show, well, all you have to do is come right to PBS, which you're doing right now, and check on show information. And there's a brief bio on those individuals that are going to be on the show. So I wanted to just cover that with you quickly. And don't forget, those of you in Western Washington, this is the last weekend for the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Festival Fair. And I'll tell you, it is absolutely incredible.
and people are going to be in costume, wonderful activities for the family. Everyone that I've talked with that has just said, this is great. Well, I'm there, and I get to talk with so many of you to come out. So if you'll come out, look for my booth. I'm right adjacent to the stages where they have the puppets, and it's en route to the jousting area. Look for the bright yellow banners with the big red lions on them. That's my particular booth area, and it is an absolutely awesome event. I'm going to be doing many consultations. I have an abundance of books there that I am purging out of my library that can go into yours if you like. So check out their website, Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair, and you'll get your ticket information. In fact, you can buy your tickets in advance online, and there's just so much to experience. This is the last weekend. Don't miss it. It is fabulous. Okay, I wanted to share with you, if you have a pad of paper and pen handy, I don't know about you, but when the sun's out, especially here in the state of Washington, where we're used to more gray and rain than most people, well, when the sun is out, the last thing you want to do is have to be concerned about cooking. But you want to have food that's light, flavorful, and really going to be a pleasure to eat when the time comes. Well, I am a crock pot fan, but I'm also a fan of one pot cooking, even if it isn't in a crock pot. And there is a delightful person that I had on my show. Her name is Elizabeth Yarnell. And she put out a book called Glorious One Pot Meals, and they are wonderful. Salmon here in the Pacific Northwest is one of our favorite fish. It's absolutely delicious. The one thing you don't want to do is overcook it. However, if you wanted a one-pot meal so that you could go out and be doing something and it's cooking away in your oven, it's real, real easy to do. So I wanted to share this with you. Now, what you're going to need is a 2-quart Dutch oven that has a lid. And what you want to do is be sure that you oil the inside of the Dutch oven. And if you want, you can use your non-cook cooking spray. But I just like to take some olive oil and just rub it on the inside. Or even just a little bit of butter. It doesn't make any difference. So what you're going to need, here are the ingredients. You're going to need 1 tablespoon of sesame oil divided. Oh, I want to tell you, don't forget, you need to turn your oven on to 450 degrees. That's right. It's only going to be on for an hour. This is a good dish. You're going to need a tablespoon of sesame oil divided, 1 cup of jasmine rice, and that's going to be rinsed, 1 cup of water. You need 1/2 to 3/4 pound of salmon fillet or steak. Now, this that I'm telling you is for 2 people. So if you want to fix more, double it. Then you're going to need 2 carrots cut into julienne strips, 2 tablespoons of soy sauce, 1 teaspoon of rice wine vinegar, 1/8 teaspoon of sugar, 1 teaspoon of ginger, and you want to grate it. It has to be freshly grated. 2 cloves of garlic. You want that garlic minced. 1 teaspoon of red pepper flakes. 1/2 teaspoon of sesame seeds. You're going to need 1 lemon. And you want to squeeze out 1 tablespoon of lemon juice. 1/4 head of purple cabbage, and you want that shredded, and 1 avocado, peeled, pitted, and sliced. Okay, so here's what you're going to do. You want to, as I said, take your Dutch oven, and you want to oil it or butter it on the inside. Your rice, you're going to put it in a strainer and run it under cold water until the water runs clear. You then are going to put it in the pot, in the Dutch oven, and you add 1 cup of water. Your salmon, you rinse it lightly, put it in the pot. Don't worry about it perhaps sitting in some water. You want to clean your carrots, and you want to slice them julienne style. You put that over the salmon. And then in a small bowl, you take your soy sauce, your vinegar, sesame oil, sugar, ginger, garlic, red pepper flakes, sesame seeds, and lemon juice. Whisk those together real quickly. You want to be sure that you whisk it until the sugar is dissolved. You want to pour 1/2 mixture over the carrots, and then you want to put your shredded cabbage over that, and, you know, any other vegetables that you might want, and then you put the avocado slices on top of that, and then pour the rest of your seasoning mixture over it, cover it, put it in that 450-degree oven for about 45 to 50 minutes. Now, you're going to know that it's just about done because you're going to smell the wonderful aromas, and your rice is going to be just perfectly cooked. Now, if you want to add a different flavor, instead of using the cup of water, use a cup of broth. And you can use vegetable broth, chicken broth, beef broth, whatever you like. And you might also want to add, you know, for additional vegetables, maybe a handful of snow peas, and what about some sliced shiitake mushrooms, you know, to just add to it. And your rice is going to totally absorb the water, and the fish is going to be sort of like a poached salmon. It's really going to be quite delicious. And if you are in a very, very dry climate like Arizona, then you might want to add in 2 extra tablespoons of water for extra moisture. Well, we're out of time. My goodness, what a wonderful show we had today. I'm so delighted you were able to join us. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. Thank you so much for being with me today. Look forward to having you share some time with me again tomorrow and our wonderful guests. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.